America Weekend.
Our guest is David Sue, and basically we're talking about we're really talking about the downtowns of America. And he is an expert in the downtown of Paterson, New Jersey, and what they've been doing there. And the last thing he said was, it's a thing between process and substance. Is that correct?
Yes.
And take that wherever you want to go with it.
Well, I don't want to say that there aren't people that work really hard and are incredibly dedicated to their communities around this nation. And that's a fact. But let's throw over to one of the issues that I think gets in the way for taxation in this country. And maybe it's a tough thing to talk about. Cost of living adjustment for public employees and pensioners. All right? I've seen it float anywhere between what Social Security does, which is usually 1.5%, to upwards of 3%. So if that's built into the contracts of all the employees and the pensioners, then you're going to have to, for whatever percentage of the government tab that salary and pension is, and can be more than 2/3 just for salaries and pensions, you're going to have to roll up your revenue every single year 1%, 2%, 3%. Now, every 5 years, then, you're looking at more than a 10% climb in your demand for tax revenue. And so the growth of the city has to keep up with that demand for additional money, and everything else gets more expensive, and we're on a currency, and the dollar goes down in value, you know, over a period of time, and it gets in the way.
Solution. Thoughts?
Well, I think we have to rethink this land-based taxation system, and I think we have to not have an adversarial – sometimes there's an adversarial relationship between urban centers and outlying areas or rural, more rural areas. And I think we need to understand that the identity of both of those places is essential to this nation. We couldn't have a country of only rural areas, and we couldn't have a country of only cities. We have to coexist, and we have to work well together, and we have to focus on a quality of life.
Wasn't there a proposal in – was it Illinois? Help me here, someone. Illinois or Ohio with reference to changing the agrarian taxation base? It was brought up at one of the state houses, and I saw an article on this about a year ago, where it's been recognized across the country that we have a problem in how we tax people.
We do have a problem in how we tax people. In New Jersey, we have a problem with having over 400 municipalities, and every one of those municipalities has got its own government, and there's a lot of redundancy. They try and help with some communities, but we have communities with as small as 40 people.
I think that, Roland and David, the proposal, and I've talked about this with other people before, is to look at the, instead of building new communities, and I've said this once before, I had a conversation with one of the builders here in New York, a very large builder, why not, instead of looking for, and he was looking to build over the railroad tracks here on the West Side and part of the Trump process and all of the rest, so why not go downtown and reevaluate some of the areas that can use. Okay, because New York City is a place just like Los Angeles, Chicago, Jacksonville, Florida, a city within a city within a city, you see. And why not use that money to work the downtown to help, instead of rebuilding and building new buildings that many people cannot afford, how about rebuilding back downtown where they can use that, which also stimulates the economy and also stimulates the growth of that inner city, if you follow what I'm saying, okay?
No, I agree with you. And you know, even though the communities can't always keep up with their demand for costs based on land-based revenue, it's actually more cost-effective to have somebody living in a city in a lot of ways, because
sure,
you're not consuming as much land area in order to have.
Correct.
You know, I live in an apartment, and it's very nice, but, you know, within the couple acres of land that I live on with my neighbors, there's probably 144 units. You know, so it's a much more efficient way to go, and you can condense the infrastructure and the services so that people are provided for.
We have a short time left here. May I change the subject?
Go right ahead.
You're a ceramic artist?
Yes.
What do you do?
I started as a potter, and then I worked my way into making throne and altar pottery and sculptures. I fire in an Anigama wood kiln, which is where you stoke the kiln with wood. So will burn about 4 or 5 cords of wood in about 5 days.
So you need the rural area to help you out there.
It would be uncomfortable to have it in a city, but, you know, that's why I travel out of town.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Very interesting.
Well, it is.
It's eclectic, that's for sure. David, thank you so much for joining us here. We're going to bring you back. As you can see, I'm enamored with this particular topic because I've traveled across this country and I've seen what you've described, and it works. I like your idea, and let's see if we can't make some changes. We'll do our best here at Smith Sabatino.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Well, you. And us, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming.
We truly appreciate it. And it's a topic that I would like to see us explore some more.
Yeah, we wish we had more time. Thank you very much, David Sue. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on. Smith Sabatino, stay with us. We're back.
America Weekend. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star goalie helped lift the New York Rangers to the semifinals in 86 and the Carolina Panthers to the finals in 96. His 374 wins makes him the winningest American goalie of all time. So where is John Van Beesbrook now? Beezer became the head coach and general manager of the minor league Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. However, he resigned after using a racial slur against his player, Trevor Daley. John was part of the radio broadcast team for the 2010 Olympic Hockey Games, and he was in goal for the 2012 Rangers-Flyers Winter Classic Alumni Games. Beezer still looks good in blue. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. You can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. The auctioneer got four times what this collectible bike is worth. How can a 59 Harley bring $385,000? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. This 1959 Harley-Davidson Dual Glide is so clean, you could eat off it. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Jerry Lee Lewis was given the bike by Harley-Davidson. Elvis got one, too. $385,000 is a lot of money for this Dual Glide. Far short of the second most expensive, a 1910 Winchester, which went for $580,000. The red, white, and blue Easy Rider chopper remains numero uno. $1.35 million for a bike that may not be the original.
Hey.
American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.